The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for your presence with us in the beauty of this sanctuary and for the gifts of your grace through word and sacrament that we receive this day. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends, I'm excited today, as I said earlier, to begin a series of three sermons examining the purpose of the church. Now, as I understand it, my job is to preach and yours is to listen. If you finish before I do, please let me know. Over the next 3 weeks, we will answer the question, what is God's priority for his people? God's priority must also be our priority. This is the mission that Jesus was sent to fulfill. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And this, then, is the mission we are also sent to fulfill. I am sending you just as the Father has sent me. Here at First Lutheran Church, you have identified that you are a faith community called to welcome and nurture all people, to respond to the needs of our downtown community and the world, to grow in faith through worship, fellowship, and to develop and share our gifts and resources. Well, you know, everything that we do, from our worship to our programs to our special events, to our management of finances and the care of this building, must be evaluated in the light of that priority, to share the love that has saved us with others and help them cultivate a relationship with God as well. If our church does not exist for this primary purpose, then I'm afraid to tell you that we are not a church. We are a social club, maybe an activity center, but not a church. A church is a group of people who know Christ and are committed to making him known to others. A church is a group of God's people who are seeking to work together to fulfill their God-given mission. A group of believers whose priority is God's priority. Luke chapter 15 speaks to us about God's priorities. In it, we find three parables: the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son. Now, I'm not going to read the entire chapter to you here during this sermon time, but I encourage you to, when you get home or when it's convenient, to open your Bibles to Luke 15 and to read it for yourself. While each of these stories tell us who are lost, they're really designed to help us understand more about our Heavenly Father. So, first let's look at what is on the Father's heart. And we see that in verses 4, 8, and 20. Verse 4. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Or verse 8, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And verse 20, when he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. You see, what was on the father's heart is the desire to see those who are lost become those who are found. In the parable of the lost sheep, God is portrayed as a caring shepherd, and those who are lost are portrayed as sheep who have wandered astray. In the parable of the lost coin, God is portrayed as a woman who diligently cleans her house from top to bottom in an effort to find the one coin that she has lost. Those who are lost, therefore, are portrayed as ones who God treasures. In the parable of the lost son, God is portrayed as a loving father who is grieved over the ruptured relationship between himself and his son. Those who are lost are portrayed as children who the Father wants to restore to a place of blessing. Each of these parables teach us that what is on the Father's heart is not just that the lost be brought into a personal relationship with Him, but that He might be able to enjoy a personal relationship with them. Now let's look at what brings the father hurt. Verses 25 through 32. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," the servant replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." That which brings the father hurt, as exemplified by the elder brother in the parable of this lost son, is when his children become so self-centered and self-absorbed that they have no concern about those who are lost and find no joy in seeing them saved. A church should make decisions based on the needs of the people who are not yet members of that church. Too many churches, I think, bring the father hurt by virtue of their self-centeredness and their attitude that says, "us four and no more." Is First Lutheran Church among them? It is our privilege to have evangelism as our passion, not our responsibility to have it as a burden. Finally, let's look at what makes the father happy. Verses 5 through 7. "And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." And verses 9 and 10. "When she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And finally, verses 22 to 24. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. That which makes the father happy is seeing an individual repent and be saved and enter into a relationship with him. And his joy is made even greater when the rest of his children share in that happiness. One final thought that struck me as I was preparing for this sermon, as I was reading this chapter. These parables each emphasize the importance of one. It's one sheep that is lost. It's one coin that is lost. It's one son who is lost. And to me, that says something about God's concern about individuals and about his passion for seeing them brought into a life-giving relationship with him. As long as there is one person who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot rest, we cannot relax, we cannot be satisfied until they come to that relationship with their Lord and Savior. That's why first must always seek to reach more people. That's why we can never say we've done enough. Pastor Rick Warren shares about the death of his father, who himself had for years been a faithful pastor. On his deathbed, he began to speak, and what he was saying, as related by his son Rick, was, got to reach one more for Jesus, one more for Jesus. Rick Warren said that he saw that as an expression of his father's heart. A heart that was in tune with the heart of God. And he vowed that day that reaching one more for Jesus would be his passion in life as well. May it also be ours. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Stand as you are able, and let's join in singing our next hymn.